Today we are continuing our Great Stories in Genesis series. We're in the life of Joseph now, and last week you'll recall we looked at Joseph being betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery, and today we're picking up his story a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 39 as we look at the temptation that Joseph faces when he is in Potiphar's house. A little boy was eating some candy that he had taken without his mother's permission, but she caught him in the act, and being a pious woman intent on raising her children in the faith, she said to him, "Listen, my dear son, don't you know that God is watching you all the time and notices everything you do?" "Oh, Mom, of course I know that." "Well," she said, "then didn't you realize that God was watching you when you were in the kitchen?" "Well, of course he was watching me," he said. "And what do you think he was saying when he saw you sneaking into the candy jar?" "Well, Mom, I'll tell you what he said. He said, 'My dear child, you and I are all alone in the kitchen, so go ahead and take two pieces of candy.'" Temptation, right? We deal with it all the time. Every day we deal with temptation. And it's not candy from a candy jar. It's much more severe. Today we're going to be jumping back into the story of Joseph as he deals with a temptation. And Joseph, keep in mind, he's far from home. He's a young man, he's far from home, he's been betrayed by his brothers, he's not having any contact with his mother or his father, and he's in Potiphar's house, and he's got to be thinking, how in the world did I ever get in this situation? But that's where he finds himself. But he does have the favor of God with him. And the fact that God sort of places him into Potiphar's house is sort of a realization that God is indeed with Joseph. Despite the events that have happened, despite the betrayal by his brothers, God is continuing to be with Joseph. And in Potiphar's house, he rises from being simply a slave to a trusted employee. And in fact, he becomes Potiphar's attendant. Now, let's look at this great story in Genesis chapter 39 for a message entitled The Temptation. Hear now the word of God, Genesis chapter 39. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went inside the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Joseph finds himself in the service of Potiphar, and this official of Pharaoh, and he's in charge of Potiphar is in charge of the royal guard in Egypt. And so Joseph has landed among powerful people, among wealthy people. He's landed among people who have influence. And one thing is clear, and that is that Joseph sort of stands out among all the servants and the employees in Potiphar's house. And that leads to our first point today, that God was clearly working in Joseph's life. There is no question that God is working in Joseph's life. And verse 2 says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. God was with him. And Potiphar notices that too. He notices that God is with him. And so he decides, you know what, I'm going to give him more responsibility and more responsibility. I'm going to put him in charge of even more things. He entrusted everything, eventually, to the care of Joseph. Potiphar saw how the Lord was giving Joseph success, and he decided, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this. And I'm going to see if some of that success pours out into my life as well. And verse 4 says, Joseph found favor in the eyes of Potiphar and put him in charge of his household. And he entrusted to Joseph's care everything he owned. Think about that for a moment. Here is Joseph. He's a young man. He's a Hebrew. And here he is in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's saying, I'm going to put you in charge of everything. Talk about the favor and the blessing of God. The fact that he's in a safe place. He's in a place where he's being provided for. And now he's given tremendous opportunity to grow in his leadership, in his service. Potiphar noticed that God's working in his life, and so he entrusted his whole household to Joseph. And it says the favor and the blessing of God that Joseph knew began to pour out into Potiphar's life. Everything that Potiphar had was being blessed of God because of the faithfulness of Joseph and the favor of God. Verse 5, from that time on, he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. God was with Joseph and blessing him, and now those blessings were overflowing out of his life into the life of Potiphar, his master. About 6 weeks ago, I attended a memorial service for Pastor Earl Ziegler, a devoted man of God who served faithfully his entire life, the Lord he knew and loved. He was a senior pastor here at Mechanic Grove for 13 years in the 70s and the 80s, And what I remember about his memorial service was how God had worked in his life for 97 years. He came to faith early in life. He received a call to ministry, and he responded in obedience to that call. And he served faithfully as a pastor for nearly 50 years. He was a district executive for 6 years. And he was someone you just wanted to spend time with. Someone you just wanted to sit down and talk with. Someone you wanted to be with. Because God was at work in his life. And as his family eulogized him that day, I was amazed at how well-loved and appreciated he was by his children, who often didn't have their dad at home because he was serving the church in the evenings and going to meetings and so forth. God was at work in Earl's life, and everyone, and especially his family, realized that. And as a result, you wanted to be with Pastor Earl, because you knew that you'd be blessed. And I was so blessed in October 2022, just after I started here as pastor, to have Earl and his sons Randy and Mike here for our 125th anniversary celebration. I treasure this picture I treasure this picture because I remember visiting with all of them that day and just being reminded of how blessed they were, how good it was to sit down with a faithful servant of the Lord and members of his family and just hear them share how God had worked in their lives. Potiphar knew how blessed Joseph was, and as a result, he trusted him and put him in charge of his entire household. I think that leads to the second point, which is quite clear. The point is this: Joseph understood his purpose. Joseph understood his purpose. He knew God was with him, and he knew his purpose in that moment was to serve the Lord by serving Potiphar. Verse 9 is quite telling. Joseph says, "No one is greater in this house than I am." He says that this after Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. And so here is Joseph. He's been put in charge of everything, but he understands his place. He understands his purpose, his position. He knows the rules. "My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife," he says to Potiphar's wife. "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph understands his purpose and his place, and he's not going to take advantage of that. You know, we live in a world today where people in positions of power take advantage of those positions all the time. All the time. Presidents and governmental leaders who abuse their authority are far too commonplace. And the scandals that have rocked our world over the last hundreds of years come quickly to mind. But friends, I marvel at the people who are in positions of influence and power who, with God's blessing, continue to live with honor and integrity. Can there be no greater legacy to leave the next generation than to serve the Lord faithfully and never compromise on your integrity, your character, and your Christian witness? From the humble beginnings on a dairy farm in his mountain home near Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Billy Graham became one of the most famous evangelists in modern Christian history. Over 6 decades of ministry, he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to more people assembled in live audiences than any other man in history. His hearers have been estimated at 210 million people. Think about that, 210 million people. This total doesn't include the millions of others who watched him on television or listened to him on the radio. In 1948, in Modesto, California, Billy Graham developed the Modesto Manifesto, a short code of ethics. It would come to be known as the Billy Graham Rule, and years later, Graham described the first and most important part of that manifesto in his own words. Graham said, "We all know of evangelists who had fallen into immorality while separated from their families by travel. So we pledged among ourselves to avoid any situation that would have even the appearance of compromise or suspicion. From that day on, I did not travel, meet, or eat alone with a woman other than my wife." We determined the Apostle Paul's mandate to the young Pastor Timothy to flee youthful lusts would be ours as well. Other parts of the manifesto dealt with financial integrity and honest reporting of numbers and attendance at his crusade meetings, and how to count those who responded to the altar call. All the matters addressed called for integrity, which Graham described in this memorable way. Graham said, "Integrity means if our private life was suddenly exposed, we'd have no reason to be ashamed or embarrassed. Integrity means our outward life is consistent with our inner convictions." Personal integrity was so important to the life and the ministry of Dr. Billy Graham. It's significant that in a day of moral failure and a downfall of many popular preachers, Dr. Graham's testimony was never tainted by any moral scandal. The simple reason was he never made any provision for the lusts of the flesh. You know that Dr. Billy Graham always asked that the cable TV be disconnected in any hotel room in which he stayed prior to his entry into the room. On one occasion, this was not done, and he could have sought different lodging, but the hour was late, so Billy Graham did the only thing he knew to do. He yanked the cable right out of the wall. He later paid the hotel for the damage done, saying, "We can replace the television cable. We can't replace integrity." Billy Graham, like Joseph, understood his purpose and made sure he would never compromise his integrity. Well, in our Genesis 39 story, we learn that Potiphar's wife is rather persistent in trying to seduce young Joseph. Repeatedly, he refuses the advances of Potiphar's wife. And one day, though, she grabs him by the cloak and says to him, "Come to bed with me." And again, he refuses, but as he flees, he leaves his cloak behind. Here is the point. Joseph took action. Joseph took action to resist the advances of Potiphar's wife. In this scene, he fled the scene as quickly as he could. For Joseph, temptation was knocking on his door. And it wasn't just once, it was repeatedly. Because Potiphar's wife was attempting over and over again to seduce young Joseph. Satan knows that, like metal is drawn to a magnet, the sinfulness in our heart is drawn to temptation. And so he entices us to sin. And in this story, we know that Joseph is being enticed to sin. But again, not just once, repeatedly, over and over again. Not all temptations are the same. Some temptations are minor and easily avoided, but other temptations are doused in a strong attractant that makes it hard to refuse. Such is the nature of sexual temptation. And Mrs. Potiphar, well, she was persistent. She was used to getting her way. She wasn't going to give in too easily because she had designs on young Joseph. And so she changed her tactics and amped up her pressure. And she went from simply asking to begging, requesting, almost demanding that young Joseph participate with her in some kind of relationship. You see, Mrs. Potiphar was the pawn, but Satan was the chess player. He was the one making the moves and attempt to ruin Joseph, to hinder God's purposes for his life. You see, friends, when at first we don't answer the softer knocks of temptation, they may go away, but the knocks will get louder and louder. But there is good news, and that is that temptation can be overcome. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." With every temptation, there is a way out. There is an escape. And for Joseph, in this particular story, it was to physically flee the scene. Even if it meant leaving his cloak behind, he had to physically flee the situation. Joseph escapes Potiphar's wife, but unfortunately he doesn't escape the wrongful judgment of Potiphar. Because Mrs. Potiphar decides to fabricate a story that Joseph attacked her, and when she screamed, he fled and she held on to his cloak. And Potiphar believed the story. He believed the story. It says that he seethed with anger and he imprisoned Joseph. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But notice what happens when Joseph is in prison. There is no whining. There is no, "Why God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Didn't I do the right thing?" No, instead, verse 21 tells us, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Joseph is again singled out. And even the prison warden recognizes that God is working in this young man's life. And so he puts him in charge. He gives him responsibility, even in prison. So that leads to our last point. That is, despite being wrongfully in prison, Joseph continued to live with integrity. He continued to live with integrity, even though he's wrongfully imprisoned. And such to the point the warden puts him in charge of the other prisoners. The Lord gave him success even in prison. God was at work, and God was with Joseph. Joseph did the right thing. He fled temptation, but he still ended up in prison. But even there, God was with him, and his favor and blessing was upon him. Let me give you some takeaways from this great story in Genesis 39. First, we can have integrity in the face of temptation. We can have integrity in the face of temptation. When Potiphar's wife aggressively pursued him, Joseph did not just say no, he ran away. He took action. And he recognized that his actions were ultimately about being obedient to God. Remember what he said. He said, "How can I do such a wicked thing against God?" He recognized that his actions would compromise his relationship with God. Second, doing the right thing can still bring trouble. Joseph suffered wrongfully. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison for his obedience. Even though he did the right thing, he fled the situation, he still ended up in prison. And that's an important point to remember, that God does not guarantee us a trouble-free life. Third, God's presence is our anchor. God's presence is our anchor. Despite being sold into slavery, thrown into a dungeon, Scripture repeatedly says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. God's favor goes with you, regardless of where you are physically or the circumstances you find yourself in. God's presence is our anchor. And fourth, we are to have excellence and faithfulness in the mundane. Faithfulness and excellence in the mundane. So whether we are a slave or a prisoner, Joseph excelled at his assigned tasks. His faithfulness earned him the trust of his overseers. And so he was faithful in the mundane tasks of life, demonstrating that we're to work diligently, even if it's an unfair situation or a menial task. And finally, temptations and trials are preparation for the future. Because Joseph's trials in Potiphar's house and the prison acted as training for his eventual role in ruling Egypt. Every setback can be utilized by God as a stepping stone for your ultimate calling. So, Pastor, what makes this such a great story then? Why is Genesis 39 considered a great story? Simply this, that we can have victory over temptation when we realize that God is always with us, that He always provides a way out of the temptation. But we have to do our part. We have to take action. For Billy Graham, that meant no cable television in his hotel room. For Joseph, that meant leaving the scene of what would have been a great sin. Guard your honor and your integrity and your Christian witness with a pit bull determination that you will not give in or compromise no matter what Satan tempts you with. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." That, my friends, is how we win over temptation. Let me close with this. A 5-year-old girl had disobeyed her mother and had been sent to her room. And after a few minutes, the mother went in to talk with her about what she had done. Teary-eyed, she asked, "Why do we do wrong things, Mommy?" And the mother responded, "Well, sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong and we listen to him. We need to listen to God instead." To which the young girl sobbed and said, "But God doesn't talk loud enough." And you know, too often it seems that way, does it not? That Satan seems to be screaming in our ear. And we need to be listening for the voice of God. Let's face it, friends, we face temptation every day. It shouldn't surprise us. Jesus was tempted 3 times, right? 3 times by the devil in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. Temptations are real. We must deal with them every day. And the key to it is to hear the voice of God over the voice of the tempter. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Joseph's story reminds us that we can overcome temptation. We can flee from it as we submit ourselves to God. So friends, let us live in victory and with honor and integrity, just like Joseph, just like Jesus. And that, my friends, is what makes Genesis 39 a great story. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Joseph. We thank you for how you were with Joseph every step of the way. And even when he was wrongfully accused, when he fled the temptation and ended up in prison, you still were with him, providing favor to him. Lord, his story from Genesis 39 reminds us that we can indeed overcome temptation. We can flee from temptation when we listen for the voice of God, rather than the voice of the tempter. So, Father, impress upon us this day and throughout this week the significance of this great story. As each day we deal with temptation, might we indeed flee from it as we listen to the voice of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.